Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Del Torre.
Same corner, same time. Happy Martin Luther King Day to everybody out there that with the day off celebrating and vibing. How y'all boys feeling?
I am a little struggling celebrating my birthday. My birthday's on Friday, but I'll be in the Bahamas. Shout out to me.
shout out to me.
Give yourself a shout out.
It's egregious. Yeah. So golfed on Saturday morning, came back, rested for a little bit, and then had a group of people get together. I don't know how I lost my voice. Wasn't screaming and yelling, but who knows, right?
Bender vibes.
Yeah. There we were. Spent yesterday. Thought the Dolphins were going to be able to pull one out.
Glad they didn't.
Did not.
What a kick in the gut.
What an absolute just kick.
Turn the game on expecting a blowout, you know, be along my merry way by halftime. And then they hold me till the end.
They did. I mean, just until the very end, we take the lead and everything.
Dan got crunk in the group chat, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a Thompson was at the helm. We thought we had in the bag, but
my cousin,
just like us Thompsons do, we disappoint at the finish, you know.
That's hilarious. It looked like if you guys had your main quarterback, could have been a thing. Man, shout out to Kaya. Kaya had a beautiful game. Got an interception in the plate to end the game. But if you guys had two, it probably could have been something.
Yeah, we were missing Mostert too. You know, just not a completely healthy team going into this game. That's all right. I'll bounce back next year. Maybe get a good defensive coordinator and figure it out. The Dolphins aren't going away anytime soon.
I got to clear my throat, man.
Look at that cup.
Duval.
So good. Do you think that this is the most exciting thing to happen to Jacksonville since it got founded as a city?
Maxwell House.
I think when Fred Taylor went crazy on the Dolphins, like when he went for like and broke like playoff records, that part is the most excited we ever been. But this was crazy, man. We broke some historic shit that went down. It was 27-0 at halftime. I passed out. You know, I was in slumps, man. My quarterback was looking like he wasn't gonna figure things out. like I don't know what Asante Samuel had going on, but he had Trevor dialed up for a little minute there. But I went to sleep, woke up to a lot of notifications and texts and calls. I was like, what the hell went down last night? I had to rewatch the game at 3:30 in the morning, man.
Yeah, dude, that was nuts. We were at the bar, and that was kind of on in the background. Everybody kind of tuned out once it was 27-0. Then all of a sudden, it just started trickling, and then we had to stick around and watch the end of that. So shout out to Jacksonville. I know there's not a lot to write home about on a traditional weekend in Jacksonville. So shout out to them. Who do you guys got next?
The band is rocking, man.
Bro, this guy Dan just sneaked this in with these. Backhanded
he hate a little bit. Big hating going on, but the bank was rocking. Them boys never on Twitter. We all kind of phased out a little bit, but everybody in the stadium stayed locked in. It was freezing out there. Shout out my man Ryan and everybody else that was out there holding it down. Dog.
So Var was there. I saw our friend RJ there. Everybody was out there celebrating. No, happy for them. Congratulations, Jacksonville. Should be a good game against the Bengals. A lot of good playoff football this game or this season so far.
So looking at Richard's post-game Instagram stories, Dan, I think there might be a dance-off at the wedding. Looks like Richard was showing you how they dance in Duval County. And to me, it sounded like a challenge. Looked a lot like a challenge.
Hey, you know, if he wants to square up at the Delatorre wedding, I am here for it. Mm. I am here for it. The Jags play the Chiefs, Dan. Not the Bengals. I like the Chiefs by a half a hundred.
You like Dan?
I like Dan in the dance off, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dan gets busy. He has a high motor.
The Jags will play the Chiefs. I mean, this is traditional Jaguars football, you know? Just not even knowing who the next
Chiefs team is. He's about to catch these hands, man. What are you talking about? You said the Bengals or something, man. The Chiefs about to catch these hands, bro.
No, I think he said the Bengals. Somebody did. Shout out to Hayes Gaming. It is my birthday. That might have been me. Who knows? It's a Monday and a day off. All right.
Let's get out of football, man. NFL's over for you, man. I feel you.
It is. All right, boys. Let's get started. As always, shout out to our friend Alan Horn with Alan Horn, State Farm Insurance there in Georgia. If you are in Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, or Florida, give him a call at 706-629-2888. Again, alanhorninsurance.com with State Farm. New year, new you, potentially new insurance. Gators land two big transfers since we last chatted. Obviously, we chatted about Jaden Rashada on Friday. Had a long episode. If you haven't listened to that, please go check that out. We appreciate everybody that joined with us on Friday afternoon. On last week, on Tuesday, the Gators did grab Baylor offensive line transfer Micah Mezcua, who was looking at Nebraska and Auburn. A lot of people thought that he might be heading to Nebraska. Matt Rhule, who had previously recruited him at Baylor, is the new head coach at Nebraska. A lot of people thought that he would be heading there. But ends up committing to the University of Florida. I believe his brother had also committed to Nebraska as well, but again, chose Florida over Nebraska and Auburn. Big get for the Florida Gators on the offensive guard position as they look to replace Ethan White. Gentlemen, your thoughts on Micah Mezcua?
Huge. I think he was one of, if not the best interior offensive lineman outside of Osiris Torrance last year.
Yep.
Huge get. And when you're looking at Florida's offensive line, I mean, you're losing Ethan White, Tarquin, Torrance, Garage, really only bringing back Kingsley Egwukan and Austin Barber. You had to do, you needed some guys. I like the guys they got in their signing class, but to count on a 17-year-old, 18-year-old offensive lineman to come in and play and start and contribute huge minutes and snaps right away is not advisable. So getting a guy like Micah, and then the one we'll get into, I think Florida's doing a really good job reshaping their line. I have some questions about where guys will play, but not about Micah. I think you slide him into either left guard or right guard from day one, and that's a starter right next to Kingsley on either side.
Yeah, I think he has some ridiculous stats like Osiris Torrance had, where it was like, I think, one sack, maybe three hurries or touches, something crazy like that in 92 snaps or something wild. We got a guy that could, I think he has 3 years to play. I don't know if he plays all those three. He's good enough to possibly play one and be done, just like Osiris Torrance as well. But you got a guy that's going to, I think, anchor this thing down. It looked different whenever Osiris Torrance was out last year, so I wanted somebody at that guard position that could kind of lead. And he looked good in his Baylor film, getting to the second level and role grade and shit, man. So I'm excited about that. It came out of the blue. I did not expect us to land that kid. You know, I was hoping for the best.
Thought like that Matt Rhule relationship would
end up winning. His brother's out there as well. He has a brother on the Nebraska team, and also like where we at? You know, a lot of this is predicated on NIL. So I'm thinking like, man, we're in disarray right now. There's no way we're gonna land this kid. And then boom, out of the clear blue sky, we land him. Great get.
Yeah, no, really a highly touted player. He had a 78.5 run blocking grade, which was ninth amongst all Power 5 guards in college football last year. Let's see. He had 14 big-time blocks, which is tied for second among all guards in the country.
Oh, those pancakes were big-time blocks.
Yeah, right behind Osiris Torrance. Yes, that is a big-time block. Let me just get the exact definition for you that I can read. But that has to do Let me just pull that up. That's where a quality of play allowed them to not avoid or to avoid a sack or an excellent play that defeated a block and allowed for a an impact play. So that's kind of the basics of it. They don't have a super clear crystal definition as I am looking it up right now, but I'll try to find something a little bit better there. But certainly grabbing him, big time player, a guy that has, like you said, Silk, he is a last season was his redshirt sophomore year, which would give him 2 years. You add in a COVID year, he technically has 3 years left to play at the University of Florida. So definitely a big get for the Gators. And I do know there's been a lot of shitting on NIL at Florida recently, but I do know that NIL played a significant role in Micah coming in to the University of Florida. So any additional thoughts on Micah before we get to the commitment the Gators got today?
You think you know and then you don't know, Nick.
Yeah, you think you know someone and then they show their true colors.
Right. Shout out to that. I think it was a great gift. Do you think it's because we lost Ethan White at the guard position, upgrade or downgrade, or is a wash?
I think Micah's an upgrade.
I agree. Yeah, I think Micah's is an upgrade. I think that Ethan White is a talented player, and I don't know if you compare them this year, how much of a massive difference they're going to be. I think that Ethan White is certainly a quality offensive lineman. He still doesn't have a home yet, does he, Nick?
No, not yet.
I was peeping around. Like a lot of people expecting him to end up at USC out there with Tarquin.
I think people are following the follows. There were a lot of USC follows on the Twitter account.
They're close as well, though. So I wouldn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are my. What did I call them? They looked like a 70s hair band in the spring. Both of them showed up with this wet, always wet. Long curly black hair.
Yo,
we're talking about hair. Hair on your head.
There's a long pause between wet and your next word.
Oh man. So speaking of which, earlier today is Monday. The Gators announced the addition of Damian George from the University of Alabama, 6'6". 333 pounds, will come in and likely assume that offensive tackle spot that is open. He started against New Mexico State at right tackle, against Arkansas, and against Auburn this past year. So he played in all 12 games this year and started three last year.
Played in two games in 2022.
Yeah, my apologies. Read this wrong. Played in two games this season against Utah State and Texas. Played in 12 games in 2021, including three starts. My apologies. The way that I had written that down, he was originally a three-star recruit out of North Shore High School in Texas. Mm-hmm. Highly regarded guy in the transfer portal. But again, Florida definitely needed help with the with Michael Tarquin leaving this season, going into this season to have that extra tackle spot. So, gentlemen, a lot of excitement about Damian George. I know the staff was high on him to get him on campus. Had previously looked at a few other schools. Florida came in at the last minute and were able to grab him. But, gentlemen, your thoughts on Damian George?
I think he's a little bit better of a pass blocker than a run blocker. And someone from who I've talked to, it'll be interesting to see if they leave him at tackle or if they view him more as an interior lineman. Right now, you need tackles. I think, what do you have? You have Barber, Connors, Farmer, and I'm missing one. Scrolling through my story. And William Harrod at tackle.
Okay.
Cam Waits was a tackle. They moved him, and people are saying that, I think there was some confusion. People thought they only moved him for the game, for the Las Vegas Bowl, but he had moved during the season. They slid him inside. They think Cam Waits is better, as an interior lineman with his footwork and his speed. It'll be interesting to see. Do you move Cam Waits back out? Do you put George inside? You still need a tackle. I expect Austin Barber to start at left tackle. So you're looking for a right tackle, and you obviously needed some guard help, but you had plenty of guards, on your roster right now. So you need a tackle more than you need a guard, especially after, you know, getting a plug and play guy like Micah.
Yeah, no, did pretty well. Had in 2021, he was ranked highly by Pro Football Focus. Obviously, didn't play a ton this season, and there's a lot of excitement about him coming, especially with a lot of his experience. Still, you know, I don't think that this is a net positive over Michael Tarquin leaving, but I also don't know, and we'll see this year how much of a net negative it is with him coming in. So I think that the Gators do get obviously better with the addition of Damian George than they were earlier today, but I still think that that offensive line is still maybe a little bit talent deficient from what we've seen. Doesn't mean that they will be going into next season. And I know that they're trying to, you know, advance Austin Barber and Jalen Farmer. I know that they're excited about a lot of the players that are, you know, next up in line that are going to be taking, but it is good to get a guy like Damian George with a lot of experience to be able to come in, add Micah Mazuka, who I think is a net positive over Ethan. And maybe you're not as strong, but you're probably right there, which is probably about as good as you were going to ask for when two of your, you know, return starters are do decide to transfer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the tackles at Alabama are no joke. You mm-hmm. feel me? Going to Alabama as a 3-star, he knew it was going to be kind of a work in an uphill battle to be that guy, because they get the best offensive tackles in the country every single year. The mindset of the guy you get in the locker room. I like the guy that Billy's going to get out of that program. Mm-hmm. So far, Taraji Mitchell, all these guys are coming from good locker room cultures and, you know, good programs. I think that's a plus.
Yep.
I was surprised when Nick said that he was better at pass blocking, because that seemed to be like just snooping around on Bama, some old message board stuff. It was saying that he just probably wasn't athletic enough to be a tackle there, and they was going to probably try to play him at some guard. But we'll see, man. I'm excited about him. He's huge. This staff definitely have a tight when it pertains to offensive linemen. Mm. Like 6'7", 6'8", 330, 340, 350, like big-ass guys, bro. So, pause. But I think it's a good get. You know, everybody was panicking a little bit. I wouldn't mind getting one more tackle in here, to be honest with you, man.
What's that? Is that a Ray Sherman song? The I Ain't Got No Tight?
Yeah.
They sounded just like that too.
I was the third member. I don't know if you knew that contract dispute.
Yeah, you must have left right before I saw them perform. He opened up for Post Malone.
Yeah. We the three of us started the group together, and they, you know,
I can see that.
They want to pay you the $13 million.
An NIL dispute got me out of there.
All right. So with that being said, let's talk a little bit, and we're going to talk about Gators basketball today here in a minute. So the Gators do add two more people. Do want to announce that Jordan Young, a former cornerback for the Florida Gators, has announced that he will be heading to Cincinnati. So best of luck to Jordan Young. On Friday, we obviously broke down the Jaden Rashada story. We're not going to talk too much more about it. He did not end up enrolling as of 11:59 on Friday. There is probably still some workaround should you get there, but I think all three of us do not expect Jaden Rashada on campus before, at the earliest, summer, if at all.
I'll tell you this. Watching the Cormani situation play out, it's way more fun watching on the sidelines than covering it, like than it being like the team that you cover. I was having a lot better time watching Cormani try to fool everybody and or troll, because like it's super easy to post wherever you want to be, to post wherever you want to be. I mean, I posted a picture of a beer at Swamp Head here in Gainesville with Times Square, New York. Like, it's easy, you know, to post that picture. And then 24 hours later, all the pictures of him, you know, making snow angels with Dion come out. A lot more fun watching from the sidelines than like covering it and being in it.
Do you think it's like ironic or coincidental that both of the two guys that have the shenanigans going on, I'm not saying who at fault on either in that direction, but they're at the center of it, and so have both our collectives been at the center of it when it pertains to Ruiz and all the shenanigans that we got going on. I think a lot of ego pumped both of the points we had in both of these situations. I think ego got us to the point where we are in Cromartie's recruitment and where we are in Rashada's recruitment. It was egos, and I think that's from a lot of parties involved.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I know that Cormontie McLean said a few weeks ago, not that people that are listening to this probably care, announced that he was going to announce which school he was going to sign with on January 15th. He was making Snow Angels in Boulder on the 15th, but also did not announce where he would be going. So I will say,
man, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I think the way like all that's playing out, it's a way to do everything. And I think it's just not tasteful at all. I think it's tasteless.
I think with the transfer portal, I think with the way the college coaches, you know, do move around schools, I think relationships and everything else are far more important. That if you don't want to go somewhere, it's okay. Just don't. Right.
Yeah, man, about it, man. Call these coaches. These coaches spend a lot of time and money and resources in building relationships with you. To just piss those relationships out the window to play games like this is just asinine to me, and it could absolutely not work out there in Colorado. You're going out west, northwest, and you may want to come back home to these same programs, man. I don't know if Miami's still dealing with them, but I am, because there's rumors that we backed out and Corey Raymond wanted no parts of it, and I'm proud of that at least, right?
Yep, I'm glad that we are not on this side of that story. So before we talk a little bit more football, we do want to talk about the Florida Gators basketball program that is running on three big wins in a row, including a big win over Missouri. So we're bringing on the man, the myth, the legend, Graham Hall, on here in just a moment. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit them, pardon me, on Archer Road in Gainesville, or go visit them on on alumnihall.com. They have a new fresh supply of new Nike and Jordan Dry Fit and team issued apparel that you could go check out, including hoodies as well as gymnastics. Gymnastics just came off of a great meet on Friday as well. Nick, I believe you were there. So go check them out. New basketball gear, new gymnastics gear, Nike, Jordan, all the traditional stuff that you might get at Alumni Hall is available. AlumniHall.com or Alumni Hall on Archer Road in Gainesville, Florida. Graham Hall, it is a pleasure, my friend, to have you on. How's everything going, my friend?
What's going on, guys? Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Look at the hair. Look at the hair.
You like it, man?
Yeah, bro. You throw it out, cuz.
Nick didn't give me much time to make it look good, so if it doesn't look great,
it always looks good.
Blame the man. Yeah, I'm too kind of you guys. I appreciate it, man. It took me a while to find the look. Why didn't anyone tell me I could rock the hair for a while? Make me go around looking bald when I didn't have
it. You got to brand yourself, man. That's a nice signature hair thing right there. You got going. Keep the pro going, my guy.
Graham was a one guard guy for a while, just like, yeah, like kitchen bathroom
cuts. Money doing that, man. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, now you're saving money by not doing anything, just letting it grow.
No, that's probably like real good. You get the good shampoo, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm using tea tree oil, you know.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
I gotta stay youthful. I mean, yeah, some of us gotta, you know, look like we're under 30, Nick. I'm sorry, man. I'm trying to make sure that I'm, you know, holding it down, bringing the youthful vibes to the beat.
Yeah, you going?
Gotta try, man. So how you guys doing, man? Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely, Graham. It is
all things Gators with you guys.
No, yeah. Well, let's talk basketball first, and then we can talk about all the other things Gators want to get your opinion on. Everything that's happening in Gator Nation. Gators have Gators basketball right now. Three big wins in a row, one against Mike White and the Georgia Bulldogs, then snap LSU's 13-game home winning streak, and then go ahead and beat Missouri, who I believe at the time was 13-4. Graham, talk to us a little bit. The Gators basketball program may struggle a little bit. A lot of people weren't super excited. Maybe it was a fool's gold era here in Gainesville rather than a golden era. Talk to us a little bit about what's changed in Gator Nation basketball.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were a little bit down on this team for the first 13 games, right? But I think that's kind of reflective of obviously being a first-year head coach, bringing back half of last year's team. And then really the difference to start this season compared to last year was the strength of schedule. I know you guys you know, from being familiar with this team, have seen that they've played UConn, who until this recent, you know, five-game streak that they've been on, could have made a claim as being the number one team, the national championship favorite. Xavier's up to number 13 in the polls. At that time, that FAU loss looked pretty bad, right? But look at FAU now, 16-1, just entered the top 25 today. Dusty May is doing some great things for that team. That's an NCAA tournament team in my mind. Obviously, Oklahoma ranked as well. I mean, the list goes on. Every team that Florida has lost to hasn't been one of those quadrant four, quadrant three teams. You know, last year Florida lost to Texas Southern, a pretty demoralizing loss because it was a quadrant four loss. You haven't had any of those this year. And so Florida has remained around 50 in KenPom, and really the biggest improvement for the last month. You know, you can win some games all the time, but what does it really mean for you? Are you making improvements? I think that when you look at the advanced analytics of this team, the improvements that they've made over the last 6 weeks, I mean, they're up from 80th in adjusted defensive efficiency to number 14 in the country out of 352 teams. They have a, you know, a top 5% defense in college basketball right now. Not a great rebounding team, but when they get teams in the half court, they do a really, really good job limiting the opponent from going on and scoring around the rim, hitting three-point shots. The three-point defense has improved as well. And I think that really one of the strengths of this team has been their ability to, you know, limit teams and then also create an effective half-court offense. One of the worst things that they have really have been doing was just not knocking down shots, which is one of those, I think, very frustrating things for not just a fan base, coaching staff, but for obviously players as well, because you can do everything right, and if that ball just doesn't fall through the hoop, you know, it's like you failed the test in a way. And Florida was doing everything preparation-wise to build up and get good shots. They just weren't hitting those shots. You saw in these last couple of games what happens even when they're down 7 points early, 11 points early. When they play good defense in the half court and actually knock down 40% of their shots, this is a really, really good team. I mean, they've rallied from big deficits early on here in these past two, three games. And in this last one, you're facing a Missouri team that had the number four offense coming into this game. And really, you know, had beat Kentucky, had contended with a lot of really good teams out there, and Florida ends up managing to come back from an 11-0 early deficit because of how good defensively they are. So if this team can stay on this current path, keep playing good defense, and actually hit some of their shots, they're a really, really good team. But that isn't always the case, and you've seen what happens this season when they don't knock down shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, KenPom looking right now has the Gators 44th in the country right now. A lot of statistical improvement over the last few months. But Graham, looking at these KenPom rankings, first time I've looked at them in a while, you have one, two, three, four, five SEC teams that, and many of which Florida still has to play, you know, through, you know, the rest of this SEC schedule. How do you think that Florida compares to your Auburns and your Arkansas and your, you know, your Tennessee and Alabama, you know, those that are in the top, you know, 2021 of the KenPom rankings, you know, when Florida plays them over the next few weeks?
In terms of talent and even I think coaching experience, Florida is in a different tier. They're kind of on the outside looking in, right? I mean, look at the coaching in the SEC. Obviously, John Calipari, you know, Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates. I know that they're dealing with a little distraction up there in Tuscaloosa, but, you know, there are going to be six teams in the SEC, six of 14 teams that are going to be shoe-ins to the SEC tournament. And then every year you get a team like Texas A&M or Vanderbilt go on a run and make the tournament. That means half of the league is going to make it to the SEC. So you're probably going to have to win nine SEC games in my mind. And when you look at Florida's February schedule, I mean, that is daunting. They got to go on the road repeatedly and play some really, really tough teams. So they're going to have to pick up some wins against these Ole Misses, the Mississippi State, win some away games here over the next couple of weeks. Because you look at the rest of the schedule, you look at the Kansas State game that they're going to have to play at the end of January, it's going to get pretty tough to make sure that you actually win out and make the SEC tournament just because of how daunting the slate is. And if they can go to Tennessee in February and steal some games, go to Lexington and steal one of those games, they still have to play LSU here at home to end the season. If they win those games, I think this is going to be a team that ends up making the tournament with a 9-9 SEC record and maybe, you know, only what, 18 regular season wins, which again speaks to the strength of schedule and just speaks to that turnaround there and how daunting, of course, the SEC is. So if they can manage to do that, I think a lot of people will be very impressed with the turnaround and the job done in year one, because Todd Golden got here and said the expectation is just to make the NCAA tournament. I know that at Florida. We have higher expectations for a lot of teams, but really just the amount of parity in college basketball, the transfer portal, and being year one of a new coach. I mean, the expectation should just be get to the tournament, see what happens, right? Make some noise if you can.
Speaking real quick to that, what Graham said, starting January 28th, Florida will go to Manhattan, the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, to face Keontae Johnson, who's having an absolutely
That's what they call it.
That's what they call it.
They call it Little Apple. Yeah, 26th in KenPom.
That's hilarious.
Keontae's having an amazing season there. Great to see him staying healthy and playing basketball. But then Tennessee, two games in Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, at Arkansas. So, yeah, definitely sort of a backloaded schedule, I guess you were kind of alluding to there, Graham.
Yeah, let's just speak to the Keontae thing first off. I mean, there was a lot of people, myself included, who thought that, you know, he would never get a chance to play college basketball again, not even just from a – and it wasn't in his hands, right? Desire, of course, you put him out there, he'd be playing all day and all night. But in college athletics, it's different than even being in the pros, where there are so many people worry about liability. I mean, you could have what happened to him if you're a professional soccer player and you're back out on the field 6 months later making money. In college basketball, administrators, there were so few that wanted to take the risk to even give Keontae Johnson another chance. I mean, go back, I've talked about this 12 years ago to what happened to Alan Chaney, where he has his collapse at Virginia Tech, is the only Division I basketball player playing with his condition and doesn't get his chance to last more than five games. For Keontae to get another chance and to be killing it again, I mean, that just – it warms my heart. I got to be totally honest, man. I mean, that guy is one of the nicest guys out there. Mm-hmm. He loves Florida, repped Florida when the times were bad, when the times were good. I love to see him out here killing it. He's going to make it to the league in my mind, and he's going to keep repping Florida. People should be proud of him. And if he drops 20 on Florida's head at the end of the month, man, that's going to be bittersweet, because there's going to be part of me being like, man,
don't come on here with Nick vibes, Graham. You're coming on here with Nick vibes, like you want him to get 20 on us.
Nah, it would just be. I mean, moral victories in a way. People are always like,
Graham's waiting for a 30 piece with 10 rebounds,
20, and hits the game winner. I mean, just like he did against LSU earlier in the season. If he's the one who beats Florida, that's going to be just like a shake your head and smile. Can't even be mad about that. It's better than someone hitting a half court shot on you. I'd rather have Keontae drop 20 on my head and lose the game than in some fluke way. It's just a great story. I hope he makes the league. A great matchup. Actually, some intrigue to see that in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. I think that's the SEC Big 12 Challenge is ending. So getting a great storyline to go out on a high note for that one. And it looks like if Florida keeps on right now, they could be ranked heading into that matchup against the Wildcats there if they keep on their current trajectory.
Yeah, but like Nick said, Gators are going to face four teams over an 11-game stretch that are all ranked in the top 26 with KenPom right now. So we'll definitely be a nice little battle-tested time for the Gators, hopefully get them prepared for the SEC tournament and for March. Graham, what else can we expect of this Gators program? We saw that Colin Castleton just won SEC Player of the Week. Anything else we can expect, or do you expect, maybe prognosticate a little bit on this team and kind of where you think this team will be? I know you said potentially in the tournament, obviously getting a little bit stronger, but what are some other thoughts that you have maybe on the Gators this year?
Sure. I think that you're looking at a team that really is kind of trimming its rotation down right now. And sometimes people look at that and say, maybe that's an indictment of how the roster was constructed, the rest of the rotation. But right now, this is a team that is using 7-8 guys. I think you could say 8, but really 7 right now to carry them to victory. And several of those guys, I think, are going to be in the NBA here in a couple of years. I don't know who has been really following Will Richard. I know that he's kind of a new name for the Gators, but at 6'5", physically developed, great three-point shooter. He's shooting over 42% from three right now. As ability to get to the rim, he's a great cutter. Really, you still have seen him battle through some injuries this season, so I'm not convinced that we've even seen the healthiest, most aggressive Will Richard that we could see to that team. But this is a guy I think is going to be a future NBA wing, and I think down the stretch of the season, they're going to rely on him a little bit more. Myron Jones, let's talk about Myron Jones. I mean, that's a guy who was kind of on the cusp of being a do-not-play for a time for this team. When his three-point shot wasn't falling, I know that there were some people who kind of saw him as a waste for this team. But he has a high basketball IQ, and what he doesn't do is turn the ball over. I mean, if you watch the first half of that Missouri game, Florida turned the ball over 14 times, and then Trey Bonham sat on the bench for the second half. Myron Jones, it was ugly. It was absolutely ugly. They went on an 11-0 run right away. Florida did not look settled whatsoever. They were turning the ball over, committing careless charges. It just did not look good whatsoever. Then you put in a fifth-year guy, a veteran in Myron Jones, who handles the ball, brings it up a little bit slower, ability to beat their, you know, full-court press without, you know, getting flustered and throwing the ball away. And you're facing, like I said, a Missouri team who was ranked number 4 in offense coming into that game. If you're turning the ball over, you're going to get ran out pretty quickly against them. So give Myron Jones a lot of credit for the last couple of games. He's a big reason why they've won 3 in a row here. Finding his shot a little bit in the second half, too, of that game. And one more, you know, Riley Kugel, that's a guy who I think I was expecting him to have a little bit better of a season than he actually has had so far. But I keep getting the impression that this is a guy who is going to play in the NBA, maybe sooner rather than later. I wouldn't actually be too surprised if after this year, he's someone who considers going to the NBA. I mean, just has the size. He's quick off the dribble, an aggressive when driving downhill, getting to the rim. And he's a really good on-ball defender. When you combine all of that and his three-point shot, has a really, really nice three-point shot. 19 years old. I mean, I could see him absolutely being a guy who ends up heading to the NBA draft, maybe after this season. If not after this season, I would think definitely after next season. Those guys, Riley Kugel, Myron Jones, Will Richard, they're going to be a big reason why Colin Castleton is, in my opinion, going to make the NCAA tournament in his final college season. I think that without those guys, they're really a much worse team, because he has been great around the low block and obviously a great passer, but they need three-point shooting, and all three of those guys have the ability to stroke it. So I think that absolutely you're going to see Florida rely on them moving forward here. Look at you, man. You're laughing at me saying stroke like you're a 14-year-old child.
We're childish around here, for sure.
Yeah, I see you, man.
We're going to change. We're never going to change. Graham, appreciate that. Before we get you off the show, good thing I said show as quickly as I did. Before we get you off the show, Graham, obviously a lot's been happening with the Florida Gators football program. We've heard a lot about Jaden Rashada. We've heard a lot about NIL. Kind of give us your expert opinion and kind of your expert view of kind of what you've seen, and give us your thoughts as somebody who's been around the program for a long time.
This is nothing like I've ever seen, man. This is just, I hate to say it, uncharted waters. It's just, you know, I don't blame Florida fans for feeling like, you know, why always us? Because the amount of stuff that has just happened, I think, to this program that have been landmark in a way, I mean, I can't even list them all. Really, the last 15 years have just been some craziness here, and I wonder when it's going to stop. I mean, I don't even have to go list them all. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, we've had frying pans. We've had heads. We've had fights over shoes.
We've had credit card scandals.
Credit card scandals. Man, I mean, you name it. You name it. I mean, that's before getting into Aaron Hernandez. So, I mean, some craziness about this program is always seems to follow it, man. It seems like nothing shocks me anymore. I'm a little desensitized to it. I see 13 million. I see all those numbers, and I'm like, of course, only here. That's just my reaction now. I kind of hate that. That's just my reaction. But it seems that the only reason it's believable is because it could be here. I don't know if the saga gets wrapped up here in the next couple of weeks. My gut tells me no, that he doesn't end up on campus as an early enrollee. I don't know what the future holds beyond that. I don't think any of us do. We can speculate forever, but a lot is going on behind closed doors that we don't know about. And that also is part of why it's uncharted waters for me. I've said time and time again, we spend hours talking about head coaches and how good of recruiters they are and coaches they are. But the fact is that coaches have never had less power when it comes to getting their guys on campus. And for me, that just makes it a pretty frustrating thing to have this discourse about time and time again, because ultimately we're talking about things that are outside of a head coach's and sometimes an administration's control, because there are so many figures in here that have their hands deep that frankly we may not even know about. So it's another wild saga in what has been an incredibly wild saga for the Florida Gators. Guys, I'm gonna float this idea to you right now. If you ever want to come together and we all write a book about all the craziness for the last two decades, we should do it, man. Make a little money off this.
I mean, it's got to be a multiple part book. I mean, at this point, I mean, just the number of things that you can look back from, you know, I attended UF in 2006, and from that group until just now is nuts, right? I mean, I don't think that there's a year where Florida didn't have something wild and crazy kind of happen. Or maybe if it wasn't a year, it was maybe a year that they went 4-8, right? But even that year that they went 4-8 the first time, you could count the number of injuries that they had on, you know, 17 different people's hands, right? And still probably not reach the number of people that got injured, you know, that year. But it's definitely been a crazy time. And it does kind of feel like always us, but maybe that's just because we're always looking at it. It does, you just have a little bit of a different microscope. But something always seems to happen in Florida, and here we are. Well, Graham, thank you so much for your time. Since we last had you on the show, I know that we announced it when it happened, but tell everybody where they can follow you now. And thanks so much for your time, and have a great rest of your day, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Always my pleasure. You guys always kill it. Longtime listener. You know it. My pleasure to be here. You can find me now at Swamp247. We got a podcast as well. Recruiting episode just dropped. We'll have a basketball episode a little bit later, probably a couple of days. You can find us at Swamp247, 24/7 Sports. Always my pleasure being here. You guys know it. We got to link up pretty soon here. You guys do a great job.
Awesome. Well, let's do it again here soon, Graham. Appreciate your time, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all take care, man.
Awesome.
All right, man. Hold it down.
Graham Hall with Swamp 247.
I thought Graham was going to hit us with the longtime listener, first-time caller.
Hey, you know, Graham was on the very first show. Nick, I know you were on the very first show. I think Zach Alvaverde was on the very first show of Stadium. Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of excitement brewing right now, Nick, so we'll talk about it here in a second. Before we do that, let's give a shout-out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. Again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. Best vintage T-shirts on the market. Go check them out in homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. Nick, I know that we're probably not done in the transfer portal. I know that there's some other names being floated around. It does seem like Florida is going to be getting a running back commit in the maybe not too distant future, hopefully. I know the Gators are still looking to shore up a few other positions as well. But, Nick, the name that everybody wanted to talk about on Friday during the middle of the Jane Rashada episode was the quarterback from LSU that is transferring, Walker Howard, former five-star quarterback out of Lafayette, Louisiana. Nick, what's the latest on Walker Howard?
Yeah, if you're on Gators Online, we have a very dedicated group of sleuths, investigators that like following Florida's private planes, and there's a plane in Lafayette, Louisiana, home of one Walker Howard this afternoon. Walker hit the transfer portal at LSU, took a visit to Ole Miss over the weekend, took a visit to TCU. Florida has been in contact, is in contact with Howard, and I don't have confirmation, but I don't think Billy is, you know, going home to see relatives on January 16th in Lafayette. The issue with Howard is, are you going to commit to Florida while there's this ongoing will he, won't he enroll NIL deal with Jaden Rashada? I think that's been a holdup, and getting that situation finalized, getting that situation resolved is going to be important when you're looking at landing him. A former high four-star, he was the number six quarterback in the country last year, would be a guy that Florida would obviously take, especially if you're not expecting, which I'm not, Jaden Rashada to enroll at Florida.
Looking at Ole Miss as well as, I believe, Auburn.
Took visits to two of those schools. Listen, TCU. TCU,
my apologies.
If he visits Auburn, then Florida's good, because you had Micah visit Auburn, then commit to Florida. You had Damian George visit Auburn and then commit to Florida. So maybe we need to get Walker Howard to go on a visit to Auburn. Maybe the plane, Florida's plane, can drop him off in Auburn.
I mean,
quarterback tumors corner
from who he's facing some guys right now. TCU don't have an OC offensive coordinator. That guy left. But Lane Kiffin is a developer of QBs, and also Hugh Freeze if there's some Auburn interest. So there is, like, yeah, smash that like button while y'all here. Everybody smash that like button, show us some love. But those are the guys we are facing if we're in the market and out there for Walker Howard, and we should be, in my opinion, bro. That would save the day. I think he would be just thinking, like, out of, like, no bias, we could get both guys. The preferable guy in my mind would be the five-star that's been on LSU campus for a whole year that could possibly have, you know, competed a little bit against SEC talent for a year in the practice, maybe more suitable for a quarterback competition this fall, and to help us out, because that changes your quarterback transfer portal get from just Graham Mertz to Graham Mertz and Walker Howard. So that's just my perspective on it. I don't know if they land them. Everything's been a little wild these days, so I'm not gonna get too excited. I'm just gonna wait, let it all play out. I do know Ole Miss is expecting or waiting on a commit like now.
I mean,
just reading their message boards,
right? I know that Walker Howard, you know, did visit Ole Miss for all intents and purposes. Good visit. He did visit TCU, which Silk said is without an offensive coordinator right now. What I saw or read was that they were maybe targeting Kendall Briles, formerly of Arkansas, I believe, most recently to be their offensive coordinator. So that would certainly be interesting. But with Riley, the offensive coordinator at TCU, leaving to go to Clemson, that certainly leaves a little bit to be desired between Kendall Briles, who I know did well at Baylor under his dad, but since then has been a little bit of a mixed bag of success. Not saying that he couldn't be, you know, but certainly does leave some question marks of what you saw TCU national championship qualifier to what TCU could be next year, especially with a lot of the transition happening with a lot of their older players leaving campus. So certainly be on the lookout there at the running back position. I know the name's been leaked out there a little bit, so we feel a little bit more confident saying that Asa Martin, a name that you maybe remember from 4 years ago, now at Memphis, has been at Miami as well as Auburn before, is currently looking at the University of Florida. I know the Gators feel somewhat confidence or some bit of confidence there. So with that being said, Sonny Dykes is an amazing OC about TCU. Yes, totally agree. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be, just pointing out that Texas Christian is without a offensive coordinator right now. Gentlemen, before we get into kind of closing thoughts here, Nick, talk to us a little bit about the gymnastics meet that you went to from a viewing perspective.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago. I was just watching from the couch last week.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
Just watching from the couch. But I think I'll be spending a bunch of Friday nights watching, you know, ESPN or SEC Network. It's a really fun event. Especially live, if you're in Gainesville and you can get a ticket. I know those things are always sold out, and there's only a couple more meets at home. But a lot of fun. A lot of fun. My girl Peyton Richards does a floor routine with all late 90s, early 2000s rap. Normally floor routines are like classical music or some kind of pop dance song, and she's just got, you know, Dr. Dre instrumentals. While she does,
I'm gonna tune in now. You sold me.
In person, it's awesome. It's live. It's really cool to see, like, the stuff that these ladies do, the body control that they have. It's just really impressive. And we get stuck in, you know, covering football, and obviously I love baseball, watch baseball, but just like the power, grace and like body control that they have doing some of this stuff. It's almost like watching, like when you watch the X Games and they have like crazy names for stuff. I'm watching with my fiance, and she was a high level gymnast, and she's like, "Oh yeah, that's like a 360 triple McTwist." And I'm like, "What? That sounds ridiculous." She's like, "Oh, that's just what it was." I'm like, "Also, how'd you see that? Like, she just like jumped in the air, did four turns and two flips, and you have a name for that? How'd you even know?"
Yeah, I will say
they're a lot of fun.
That to me is an exceptionally impressive, and I know it comes with a lot of time and knowledge of the sport. And without having that, it would make it challenging. But I will say the difference of knowing, you know, the difference between 3.5 full turns and 4 turns when it happens over the course of, I don't know, a third of a second is really incredible. But as Nick was talking about, the Gators do the number 2 team in gymnastics right now. So shout out to Jenny Rowland, a friend of the program here, in her team that beat the coach, or beat the Auburn Tigers, where she was the coach at, or an assistant coach at the university, or at Auburn before coming to University of Florida. Beat them 197.825 to 197.200. Leanne Wong got her first 10 of the season, her second career 10 on the bars, and her third overall in her career. Leanne Wong gets a 10. Yep.
Two 10s.
Another 10. Two 10s. Sorry, my apologies. And then she gets a 9.975 on the floor. Then Trinity Thomas gets her first 10 on the floor, which is her 22nd 10 for and her in her career.
Fifth 11th. Straight 10 on floor. She did not compete in floor in the first meet. So the last 4 were during the playoffs NCAA tournament. She's incredible. Just the GOAT. Just the GOAT. Yeah,
she has 22nd 10s for her, 11th 10 on the floor, and tied for 4th in NCAA history in total 10. So shout out to her. Gentlemen, any final thoughts before we wrap up this Martin Luther King Day holiday?
Working on getting the GOAT on the podcast. We hope to have Trinity sharing the pod, or we'll be sharing the pod with her in the midst of greatness.
Yep. We'll have 2 All-Americans back in the show, her and Silk. NFL.
You already know Silk. What time it is, man. Yeah.
And NFL All-American Silk.
I live the wild life.
Yeah. My dad, Silk.
I live the wild life. Shout out to
I
your
mean,
dad.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we head out here?
Your dad know that I would have made it pro if my high school coach wasn't a hater.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
all you need.
See? You see what I'm saying? You just needed Papa Thompson as your high school coach. You would have been, you would have had a gold jacket on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Speaking of high school coaches, did you see that story about that coach out of Texas that got in trouble because he was making his players do push-ups, and they were, I think they had to do like 400 some odd push-ups, and then they got in trouble because they were starting to throw up and everything else. Let me see if I can get the full story here. But yeah, he was making them do. Let's see. He was placed on leave after he said that the players were required to do nearly 400 push-ups, which sent many players to the hospital. I know 3-year Letterman was proud of that accomplishment, but just a wild.
Sounds story like a South there, Florida.
So check it out.
Pop Warner practice. Don't sound like it's too crazy. Where are they at?
This was out of Rockwall Heath, which is in Heath, Texas, which is...
That sounds about Texas, though.
Yeah. Let's find out exactly where Heath, Texas is.
World's getting soft, man. Can't even make kids do 400 push-ups anymore.
Just 400 push-ups. It's near the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Small, rich area. Anyway. All right, gentlemen. Same corner, same time next week?
Same corner, same time.
Alrighty.
Hopefully we get a quarterback. Maybe we show up to the corner with a quarterback. We'll see.
Maybe we can do a pop-up show for that one if that happens.
Oh, definitely. I got time.
Nick, I think you have a song of the week.
Hopefully I'm prepared for this.
This always comes out of left field, man. This is a wild card. What you got?
Shoot. I'm just gonna go to my recently listened. I think I did a different Joyner Lucas song the last time, so I'll do Joyner Lucas, The Problem, this time.
You'd be vibing to Joyner Lucas, huh?
Yeah. I like him.
It's good vibes.
Joyner Lucas, The Problem, Dan.
His exit music is the vibes, though. Let's get up out of here.
Yeah. Can I just make my song of the week the exit music?
Yeah, it goes, man. It gets people going.
Same corner, same time. Might be a slightly different time. I forgot I'm flying back from the Bahamas next week. We'll figure it out.
Hey, man, tell my cousins I said hello, man.
I will seek out your cousins then. And hey, just a quick plug. As always, for my birthday, raise money for the V Foundation. So go check that out on my Twitter page. Always try to give back to a group that is giving money directly to those that are trying to find cures for cancer, and it is working. Cancer mortality rates are dropping drastically each and every year. So if you are a person that is capable and able and would like to give to the V Foundation, link is on my Twitter page. But other than that, we will see you guys at the same corner, same time next week. Thank you, gentlemen.
Pour me a drink, I don't do liquor, I know what you think. This is a vibe, this is that shit to make you fly. And go on a date, fly to Dubai, order a steak. I got a shorty, she told me she love me. I know that she mean it, don't know what to say. She wanted to go all the way. She wanna, she want that feeling, and she on a mission to find what she missing. She need a commitment, but don't wanna wait. I need a break, I need, she need a hubby. I wish I could love like I did in my 20s. I wish I was me back when I had no money. I wish I could give her all that she want from me, and I know it hurts. I got a diamond, don't know what it's worth, don't know what it's worth. Sleeping alone or sleeping with someone, you know you gon' hurt. Laying with someone, you know that you're killing, and deep down inside, you know that she's willing to stay and just ride. Just hoping that one day this shit'll be fine. But what if it isn't? And what if I'm wrong? What am I missing? Where do I belong? She got a vision and I never listen. I think I've been looking for something that never existed. I'm dealing with scars that never be fixed, and I know that I'm guilty of every conviction. Now how can I look in the mirror and talk to myself when I know I ain't ready to listen or ready to fix it? I just pad to ride. That's a vibe. I ain't perfect, but I try. She said, that's a lie. You know you just sabotage. Girl, you cold. You know I'm in love with you, but I ain't done being up. Got a shorty beside of me. She ain't got shit, but she proud of me. She never trip up a lot of me. She never pick up or bother me. I got a with a Rolls Royce. She wanna pull up beside of me. She never get in my way and don't ever complain about spending no time with me. I got a shorty that give me up. I don't even know how to trim me up. Too many wanna keep me down. I got a that'll big me up. She wanna suck me and lit me up. I got a that'll spoil me, treat me like royalty. I gotta live it up. None of these women can get enough. I got a shorty with hella ambition. Somebody who trusts her, believe in my vision, and keep to herself and don't be in my business. Don't talk to nobody, not even my niggas. I swear that her booty's a heavy addiction. I just wanna hit it in every position. I'm very consistent. I don't wanna cuddle. She very submissive with every decision. And shorty a ball. She got my back and she bought it. If I try to pay for the bill, she told me don't worry, my nigga, I got it. Baddest little on the hills, her body amazing. I'm talking exotic. Shorty be cooking me meals, I'm fucking me crazy. I'm talking demonic, I'm talking erotic, but I ain't in love with these. I'm not gonna reach. I hate that the woman I love has gotta compete. But I'm trying to figure the reason why I'm incomplete. Nobody perfect and not even me. I figured all of these could solve the problem. Well, maybe the problem is me.
I just found love and I never had a love like you. Hey, I just found love and I never had a love like you. Hey, I just want love. I never had a love like you, baby. I just found love, and I never had someone like you. Like that, I've been on the drugs, and I never had no one like you, baby. I've been out on love, I've been out on love like you. Like that, I've been on the drugs, and I never had no one like you. I just found love and I never had a love like you. I just want love, I never had a love like you.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.